Hello and welcome back to Florida Foodie. I'm your host, Candace Campos, along with our producer, Thomas Mates.
Hello.
America is known for many iconic foods, but most people would not count tea among them. Well, a pair of Central Florida brothers are looking to change just that. They are making the push to bring Yaupon tea into the mainstream. The tea was once pretty common among indigenous people and later those who colonized the southeastern portion of the U.S., but it ended up slipping into obscurity. Well, these brothers are now trying to bring it back while also educating people on its cultural significance. So we are happy to be joined by Brian White, the co-founder and CEO of Yaupon Brothers American Tea Company. Welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
I feel like I just went through like a history lesson about this tea.
You did.
I love this idea. So where first did you come up with, let's make tea out of Yaupon plants?
Yeah, so I'm a plant nerdy person. Mm-hmm. I'm really into indigenous plant species, especially here in Florida. And as an aside to that, I'm really interested in how to commoditize and commercialize indigenous plants because, you know, a lot of what we consume on a daily basis is imported. And a lot of that is not super sustainable. So I came across Yaupon several years ago, and I started reading about it because I'm a nerd.
Right.
And I didn't discover it. It was common knowledge in some circles. But I learned that Yaupon is our only native caffeinated plant species in America. So we import all of our caffeine. We consume 150 million cups of tea every single day in America, and all of it comes from somewhere else. So I thought that this was a really great opportunity to explore a caffeinated alternative beverage that is grown right here in America and Florida.
And you were saying that before we started taping this, that this plant is very well known. It's a salt-loving plant. What does that mean?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm from New Smyrna Beach. We're salty people. you know, a lot of people in Orlando come over and visit us on the weekends. But I first found Yaupon in New Smyrna where I live. It's growing right across the street from my house. It's a plant that really enjoys a salty environment. And we had a hurricane blow through, and there was a lot of saltwater intrusion into the woods that killed a lot of vegetation. So a lot of the trees and plants were kind of dead and sad looking. But there were these spurts of green just popping out of that dead stuff, and that happened to be the Yaupon because it was unaffected by the saltwater.
Wow.
So I was just really fascinated with it, and I wanted to learn about what plant that was. Mm-hmm. And that's how I became introduced with the plant that now our tea is made from.
So when you were learning about it, you discovered that at one point it was used as a beverage, but it was widely used by the indigenous people of the area.
Yeah.
What exactly did they use it for? How did they come to it? What do you know about its history?
Yeah, so I mean, prior to colonialism here in Florida, maybe 600 years ago, there were upwards of 1 million indigenous people living on the Florida Peninsula. So it wasn't like a smattering here and there of backwoodsy cultures. I mean, these were deeply ingrained civilizations that had inhabited Florida for thousands and thousands of years. Matter of fact, there have been human beings inhabiting Florida for at least 8,000 years, probably longer. And that entire time, they were consuming Yaupon, not just as a food and a beverage that was caffeinated and get you all fired up in the morning,
mm-hmm.
but also as a medicine, and most importantly to them, as a sacrament. So they considered Yaupon to be a ritualistic ceremonial purifier that helped purge and cleanse the body, the mind, the spirit of all sorts of bad things. So that was the real important role that Yaupon played. But even today, you know, there are several indigenous tribes throughout the U.S. that still incorporate Yaupon into their various ceremonies and rituals.
So how did you start incorporating this into a business? So, I mean, this is something that you started researching. Then you said, let me make a tea out of it. And then this company just mm-hmm. bloomed from that?
Well, I just knew that it would be an easy way to make tons of money.
Smart.
But
smart.
Of course it wasn't, right? Because, and I'm an entrepreneur, which means I'm too dumb to quit. So, I was like, oh, this is cool. I'm just going to make a tea business, guys. I mean, I don't know anything about business. I didn't know anything about food. I didn't know anything about entrepreneurship. So it's a real rude awakening mm-hmm. that happened very quickly. But like I said, too dumb to quit. At the time, this is about 12 years ago, there was zero commercial supply of Yaupon tea available. So you couldn't go online and buy it. You couldn't buy it in a supermarket. There was just no way for consumers to access a product that was made from Yaupon. You could go to a nursery and buy a plant, but that's about as close as you could get. So we really had to build a supply chain from the ground up, which took a really long time and a lot of blood, sweat, tears, and other people's money.
Yes.
but nowadays, know, we produce about 10,000 pounds of yaupon leaves a year. And we sell our tea products all over the world, including all Whole Foods markets in the state of Florida. So it's really grown. People really enjoy it. And I think that they identify with it as being a product that's from here.
Right.
That they can be proud of and understand.
So, Yaupon brothers, you're not alone in this.
Yep.
your brother, his name is, I'm sorry.
Kyle.
Kyle. Yep. Kyle White, yes. So what role did he play in this? You're doing all the research, learning all the plant nerd stuff, as you put it. So what's his side of things?
Yeah, so I mean, this harkens back to that time, you know, frolicking around the woods, just nerding out over plants. And mm-hmm. I'm the nerdy plant guy, not him. Mm-hmm. I just needed help. And
right.
So he's much younger than I was. So he's kind of a high school age. Kid at the time, mm-hmm. and I just sort of grabbed him in and said, "Hey, can you help me with picking these mysterious leaves in the woods?" If that doesn't work,
that's not weird.
Yeah, right. I know.
Do some grunt work.
So he came into it that way, and just sort of his role grew and expanded, mm-hmm. and he became very interested in entrepreneurship, and he now runs part of the entrepreneurship program at Rollins College. So he's kind of grown the business in that way, takes care of a lot of our sales, and is still involved in the day-to-day operations. And then we have another co-founder whose name is Mark Steele that's been with the business since the beginning as well.
And what's been his role in that?
He started out as my brother's mentor. So in his school, they had like student motivators, and you'd have to have a successful person come in and help you through whatever tribulations you face mm-hmm. as a high school student. So that was Mark's role. And Kyle told him that he was in the woods with me picking leaves. And of course, mm-hmm. that like alerted his, you know, this doesn't, like anytime your older brother is saying, come pick herbs in the middle of the woods, like throws up a bunch of red flags, yes. you know. So he became really interested. And of course, once he found out what we were doing, he just was sort of enamored with it and has been with us ever since.
And speaking of schools, I mean, you guys are also working with the University of Florida studying mm-hmm. yaupon. So, I mean, not only are you guys making a business, but it seems like you guys are really, you know, trying to feed the future of this plant.
Yeah, so starting with the citrus greening crisis, mm. which has impacted so many citrus growers in the state of Florida. I mean, we've lost 40,000 plus jobs due to that, you know, catastrophic pathogen that came here on shipping material. We started thinking about offering yaupon as an alternative crop to Florida farmers. And that's really taken off. So
really?
We've planted about 70,000 trees just in Florida alone in the past year. Some of those are old citrus growers. Some of them are growing other things. Mm-hmm. But the idea is the farmers grow it for us, and then we purchase all the output and use that to create our products. So we really look at it as a new industry for not just Florida, but the Southeast in general, mm-hmm. because farmers can grow something that's evolved to thrive here in our climate. You know, it's not a non-native crop. It's something that has evolved to be very successful in our area.
So how many farmers does that translate to? We said about 70 some odd thousand plants.
We have about 20 farmers signed up.
That's
right.
Great.
Now the largest farm we have has about 20,000 trees, and then they go down from there. Some of them are really small, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 trees, some of them somewhere in the middle. But it's not just in Florida. I mean, we have another operation in the Mississippi Delta. It's called Yazoo Yaupon. We've got several thousand trees there. And we have other farms all throughout the Southeast. So mostly in Florida, we started here, but it's since expanded to encompass other regions as well.
So let's talk about the product. It's a salt-loving plant, so is it a little salty? What does it taste like? Can you compare it to another tea, or do we not do that?
We can do that.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
I think it's good to compare it to tea because most people know what tea tastes like.
Right.
It is a salt-loving plant, but it doesn't taste salty, so you don't have to worry about some salty tea. It didn't sound very good to me. It tastes a lot like the tea that you're used to, but one major difference is that yaupon is not bitter at all. So it has much less tannin than traditional mm-hmm. tea, which tea is its own plant called Camellia sinensis. That plant has a very high tannin content, which makes it bitter and astringent. Mm-hmm. Yaupon has a lot less tannin than tea, so it doesn't have that astringency. So that means a couple mm-hmm. things, right? A couple big differences. You can't oversteep it, so you can steep it as long as you want and water as hot as you want, and it will never get bitter like tea does.
Okay.
It also won't stain your teeth, because that's what is doing it, is the tannin. So I think those are two positive attributes
very
that
much.
It has against tea. But otherwise, the flavor is quite similar to, you know, like a green tea. Yeah.
And what's the caffeine content like?
About the same as tea.
Oh, okay.
So maybe a third less than coffee. Because our yaupon comes from the wild, the caffeine content is variable because it's controlled by nature.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on a lot of things, like how much rainfall do we get? How hot was it? Blah, blah, blah. But generally speaking, it's between 30 and 60 milligrams a cup.
Got it.
A healthy smattering of caffeine, you know, but not so much that you feel jittery and you crash. Not to mention, aside from caffeine, yaupon has other stimulant properties. So one compound that it contains is called theobromine, which is related to caffeine, and that is the thing that makes you feel nice when you eat chocolate. So you eat chocolate and you're like, you
just feels good.
I love life right now.
Yeah.
But that's part of it's because chocolate's awesome, but another part is that it's actually a chemical response in your brain to something that's naturally in chocolate called theobromine, and that is also naturally in yaupon.
So you want to feel good, drink this tea.
Yes.
There you go. Yes. I like that. So
feel amazing.
Mm-hmm. Look at that.
We were talking about the new production facility. This is some big news. Like, this is something that's, you know, up and coming. So let's talk about this new production facility and the cafe.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yes.
So we did just open a brand new tea factory. It's in Edgewater, which is just to the south side of New Smyrna Beach, you know, maybe 10 minutes south of there. We used to just have a manufacturing facility and that's it. It was very small. We outgrew it a long time ago. And because we were so crammed in there, we couldn't show people what we were doing, which we really wanted to do. But it wasn't safe or appropriate, you know, to have people in this crammed manufacturing space. So we designed this new facility with the intention of having people come in and actually seeing the process of
an education, because I mean, really, you're a nerd at heart with these
I'm
plans
a nerd at
and
heart.
You want the nerds to come in.
I want to spread the love.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I think consumers these days, they really want provenance and authenticity in their food.
True.
You know, they want to see who's making it, where is it being made, what's going into it. So they, I mean, that's how they trust the process. So we really wanted the ability to bring people in and show them, you know, that what we're doing is clean and healthy and something you could trust. So that's what you can do now. You can go to our factory, which is at 504 Pullman Road in Edgewater. We're open for tours every day. And then we have a cafe and a gift shop attached to it, so you can try all the teas. Mm-hmm. We feature a whole suite of other locally produced products there. So, you know, lots of good stuff. We're trying to incorporate the community. We want it to be a community-focused space. We have a whole demonstration garden there, so people can see all of the different forms of yaupon that are available. And it's just sort of bringing the community in to be a part of what we do.
What's been the reaction from the community so far?
Super positive. Mm. I mean, we were kind of hyping it up to get people excited, but I think that it worked. You know, I mean, especially in New Smyrna, but even in Orlando, I feel like our brand, our Yaupon Brothers brand, has become sort of ubiquitous. Like, people know what we do. At least they have an idea. So I think that people are really excited about having the ability to actually come see it and be a part of it.
Yeah. So you were talking about in the cafe, there's different flavors and things like that. So what's like your big seller? Just the plain Jane, the fire roasted?
The OG.
Yeah, what's the OG?
I would say the OG is the American Green.
American
because
Green,
that is just yaupon, nothing else added. There's no heat. It's very minimally processed. It's all certified organic, so super clean, you know, raw ingredients. The fire roasted, which is the one that's here, is really popular. It's our most popular brand on Amazon. I don't know why that is, but it is. And it's really something we created to try and pay homage to indigenous people and how they processed and prepared yaupon historically. So they didn't have a way to, like, a fancy facility to dry out leaves over time in this very, like, elegant, low and slow process. They had to do it quickly. The leaves would spoil. So they would roast them over a fire until they reached a smoke point, and then they would put liquid over top of that and just boil it. And that's what became known as the black drink. And our fire roasted is sort of meant to be reminiscent of that. It's not exactly the same, obviously, but we just want to sort of enlighten people that that process existed. Yeah.
And, you know, have you had, like, indigenous peoples or indigenous tribes in the area, like, reach out to you and, you know, express any sort of feelings about this process that you guys have undertaken?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't had a lot of indigenous tribes in Florida reach out to us because there's simply not that many.
Right.
Like, you have the Seminole and the Miccosukee in South Florida, but that's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were a whole group, a whole civilization of indigenous tribes before the Seminole and the Miccosukee. Like in our area, they were called the Timucua. If you went a little further south, they would be the Aussie, the Calusa, the Ocale, the Agua Dulce, the Patano, the Apalache. Like these were all groups that existed for thousands of years, them and their descendants. But we do work with indigenous groups all throughout the United States. Mm-hmm. So we support directly through our sales pipeline. So if you buy tea on our website, part of the proceeds go to an indigenous-run nonprofit that's called Natifs. So that's the North American Traditional and Indigenous Food System. So that is a chef, a sous chef, an Oglala Sioux chef in Minneapolis. He has a restaurant there that is all indigenous ingredients called a Awamni. So that's like really legit. I mean, I think Esquire and New York Times just named it one of the best restaurants in America. So it's a big deal. But he's really painstakingly gone all throughout North America, not just what is today America, but all throughout the continent, and pieced together, you know, lost indigenous cuisine. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, there's Italian cuisine, there's Mexican cuisine, there's German cuisine, blah, blah. But everybody's sort of just forgotten or misunderstood indigenous cuisine and the fact that there is actually fare, you know, that has been consumed, you know, like we consume food for, mm-hmm. for a really long time. So it's sort of bringing back that lost art. So we support that directly. And then it's in addition to that, we're distributed by a couple indigenous owned distributors. Mm-hmm. The biggest one is called Sweetgrass Trading. That's owned by the Winnebago tribe up in Nebraska. And then we have a smaller one in Oklahoma. It's called the Eufaula Indian Community Distributorship. So there's a couple different outlets there. We've done smaller things with certain indigenous groups outside of that. But yeah, I mean, I think part of it is just informing and educating people so they understand all of this history that belongs to all of us.
And come to appreciate it.
You know? That's right.
I mean, I've probably driven by, you know, Yaupon plants a million times, but it's one of those things that it's like, I'm here. I've always been here.
Always been there.
Right.
And this was a plant that was always at the cornerstone of civilization. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was something that wasn't just consumed casually. I mean, it was, but it was also revered. You know, this was a sacrament. This was like a sacred thing, you know. So it's, in a way, restoring it to its rightful place, which has always been at the cornerstone of society, you know. Whether it's indigenous civilization hundreds of years ago or modern society today, I think it makes a little difference. It's just the fact that we should be re-examining the food that comes from here.
Yeah. And have you received any interest from the state itself insofar as, you know, seeing this as a potential replacement crop for people who have dealt with citrus greening and other issues like that?
Do you think they're listening?
They might.
Hopefully.
They might. Never know.
I don't know. It's kind of complicated. I would say not enough, right? I mean, I think that the state, I'm not pointing anybody. But I think that there's a lot of shiny object syndrome, you know, like hemp will come along or something else, and that gobbles up a lot of funding, a lot of attention. But I mean, we do work with state organizations. We've been involved with the Department of Agriculture with their, what's called their Innovation Ag Innovation Work Group. I've been on that panel for a while. We've worked very closely with the University of Florida with their extension service. So yeah, I mean, there has been some promotion on the state level. Promoting Yaupon as an alternative crop isn't enough, definitely not, but it's better than nothing.
Right. So yeah. What's next? What's in the future?
Everything.
Yes.
We're taking over the world.
Good.
I think the sky's the limit. Like, I really look at it in a holistic way. You know, tea is the natural first place to start for Yaupon, but Yaupon has so many applications. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be in everything. Like, we have a beauty line coming out called Elixir.
Really?
That's going to incorporate Yaupon in its formulations. So this is something that, you know, okay, yeah, you can drink it. It's good for the inside of your body, but it's also good for the outside of your body. You know, so this is something you could apply on your skin that has, you know, various benefits. We look at nutraceutical value for Yaupon, beauty and skincare products for Yaupon, alcoholic products. We did a beer with Playa Linda Brewing that was served at the Food and Wine Festival at Epcot. That was really well received.
Nice.
We're working on a gin with Sugarworks Distilling, which is in New Smyrna Beach. And that is a gin with all the botanicals are indigenous. So everything that you would normally find, the juniper, the bay leaf, everything is our indigenous version of that. So it's really just, I think, breaking down the food system that's always been here, mm-hmm. and learning how to apply it to like a modern consumer, a modern palate. How do we get regular people excited about it? How do we make great products that they want to buy? I think that's where we're headed.
I mean, think about kale, you know?
Yeah.
5 years ago,
kale, yeah.
no one could give a you-know-what about kale. And all of a sudden, it was, quote, a superfood. And, you know, so I feel like this could actually be something like that.
Sure.
You know? You
could absolutely.
You put it on your face. You can drink it. You can
and unlike kale, it actually tastes good.
Exactly. No bet.
No offense.
Add a million different salt.
Vegans coming after us now.
That's okay. It's all right. I can take it.
Yeah. Yeah. Are there any other indigenous plants that you're looking at to make a similar push with?
Where should I be searching for these plants? I'm just kidding.
I don't know if I want to reveal my secrets. Yeah, I mean, there are. Like, we're working with a mint right now. It's an indigenous mint here in Florida. It's called Clinopodium, or it's known as brown savory. It's just delicious. You know, it's a mint, so it tastes minty, but it's got this sweet quality. It's just no one's used it. You know, it's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
So the idea is, it's not super easy to develop these supply chains, but it's not impossible. And I think that people will enjoy the product. So we're looking at that. We have a plant that's called Simpson Stopper. It's called Mercianthes Fragrans. We distill a wonderful essential oil out of that that's very fragrant and kind of citrusy.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
So speaking of supplies, where can people find you online? You said that you are in some stores and you're on Amazon, you've mentioned. So give us a breakdown of where we can find you guys.
Oh, my favorite part. Shameless plug.
Yes. Okay. Do it.
So we are in all Whole Foods stores.
Congrats.
In the state
that's
of
huge.
Florida. Yep. Yeah. That's big. People can support us there. That really does help us because we love the products to come from Whole Foods. We do all of the tea program at all Foxtail Coffee locations. So there's, I think, 30 or 31 of those now. So we do the entire tea program there. You can find us at little retailers in Orlando, like Infusion Tea carries us. You can, of course, find us on our website, which is yoponbrothers.com. You can find our Mississippi products at yazooyopon.com, which is Y-A-Z-O-O. And you can also find us on Amazon, but you notice I put that last.
Yes.
So
yes,
buy the other ones first.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much for
you.
I mean, first for teaching us all about this and creating such a great product. And I can't wait to try it.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for listening to Florida Foodie. We'd also like to thank our guest, Brian White. You can find more about his business online at yoponbrothers.com. You can also find it on Facebook and Instagram. You can also find Candace Campos on social media. She's on Twitter. Just search at Candace News 6. And on Facebook, search Candace Campos News 6. Also, a big thank you to our technical producers, Derek Mosier and Ryan Haley, and our director, Chris Snyder. I'm the show's producer, Thomas Mates. Please take the time to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, or tell a friend about us. And you can find videos of all of our podcasts on clickorlando.com/Florida Foodie, and be sure to sign up for the Florida Foodie newsletter while you're there.